Bless you. Genesis chapter 40 this morning. Genesis chapter 40. I want you to find your place there. I'm going to take my text from Genesis chapter 39. We've already preached on Genesis 39, but I'm going to go back into it, dive into it, and grab my title for this message in chapter 40. We're preaching on Genesis chapter 40 today. First book of the Bible, friends. I'm playing with you. I'm joking with you, okay? I'm joking. Genesis chapter 40. Don't get me tickled, friends. I'm telling you. My daughter's got me, you know, flustered up here this morning. I looked at my wife and I said, she is going to have marriage problems. No doubt about it. Chapter 39. You're in chapter 40. But I'm gonna take my text from Genesis 39, verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. The title of my message is that phrase, put into the prison. Put into the prison. Now, I want to preach to you on that subject this morning out of Genesis chapter 40. Father, we love you and help us, I pray. Speak to us from your word, challenge us from it. And I pray that you relay this message the way that you have given it to me. I confess before you and these precious people, I cannot preach this if you don't help me. Get me out of the way, and may the will of God be done thoroughly. Please, do business with us in Jesus' name. Amen. In this chapter, we see that Joseph was a 17-year-old young man. And as we start to review his life a little bit here, he was favored by his father. His brothers couldn't stand him and sold him to merchant men. And these merchant men brought Joseph down to Egypt where they sold him to Potiphar. Now while in Potiphar's house, Joseph had God's presence and blessing upon his life to the point that even Potiphar saw the blessing of God upon this young man. Potiphar gave all he had into Joseph's hand for his safekeeping. However, we saw how Potiphar's wife, we've already preached on this now because we're preaching through the book. We saw how Potiphar's wife had her eyes cast upon Joseph and tempted him to commit sin with her. Joseph stood strong through this repeated temptation to the point that she caught hold of his coat while they were alone in the house, and Joseph ran away from her, leaving his coat in her hands. Now this wicked woman lied about Joseph, saying that he had tried to force himself upon her. Potiphar got mad and put him into the prison. Notice it doesn't say he went there on his own. It says Potiphar put him into the prison. Now we know that Joseph was not guilty of this sin. And Potiphar's wife knew he was not guilty of this sin. The Lord knew he was not guilty of this sin. And even though this was unjust to Joseph, here he is put into the prison. It's not his choice to be there. It is here that he will lose his freedom. It is here that his feet will be hurt in the fetters. Psalm 105 teaches this. It is here that he will spend several years of his life. Now, would you agree with me this morning that this just doesn't seem fair? Joseph has been hated by his brothers just because his father loved him. He's been falsely accused and sentenced to prison, and now he's sitting there in this prison. That's this thought of being put into the prison that I want to dwell on in this chapter number 40. As we come to this chapter, we see Joseph is bound in this prison. We see this in verse number 3. It's the place where Joseph was bound. And as we come to this chapter, he is inside of this prison. Now, while Joseph is in this prison that he did not choose for himself, I see five things. And I want to give you these things as our admonition today. In other words, we see five things to do when we find ourselves put into the prison. I'm talking about the place that you didn't choose to go. I'm talking about the place that seems unfair. I'm talking about the place that seems unjust. I'm talking about the place that causes you pain and causes you suffering. I'm talking about the prison experiences in life that you do not choose to go there, but you find yourself put there throughout life. Everybody with me, what I'm trying to get across? By the way, some of you have come in here today and you are sitting in one of those prisons. You are put into a prison that you never chose in your own life. It's a prison of pain and suffering and sorrow. It's a prison of loneliness and seeming loss of freedom. It's a prison that just doesn't seem fair. It's a prison that you would never choose for yourself. When you find yourself in those places, by the way, they come to all of us. Now, I know this is not great news, but you are either in one or on your way to one, friends. It's just the way this life is made. There are constantly things that hit our lives that we would not choose for ourselves. This being the case, when you find yourself in a prison, let me give you five things to do. You ready? Here we go now. Trying to help you. Trying to help me too. Number one. Put into the prison, first of all, realize God is at work. Realize God is at work. We see this in verse 1 and following. It came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. Now here's what I'm saying. After Potiphar put Joseph into this prison unjustly, we see Pharaoh's butler and baker somehow offended Pharaoh to the point that he got mad at them and he put them into the same place where Joseph was. Now at first glance, one may think that the Pharaoh's inconsiderate. One may think that the Pharaoh is unkind. Get this. While this is true, the major thought here is how God is at work in Joseph's life to get him to the point to have his dreams fulfilled. What I'm saying is we know that the Lord is going to use this butler in a couple of years to help get Joseph out of prison and into the very presence of Pharaoh where he will be placed into leadership. Here's what I'm saying to you. It's encouraging to see how God was at work in Joseph's life by allowing the butler and baker to be put into the same prison he was. All I'm saying to you is this. When you find yourself in a prison experience of life, we can be encouraged in the fact that when God's children find themselves put into the prison of pain, suffering, and injustice, God is at work behind the scenes to fulfill His will and desire in your life. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them who are the called according to His purpose, to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. It doesn't say we know that all things are good. It doesn't say that we know all things we would choose to be good. It says we know all things work together for good. You know what I'm glad about, and I'm talking about the Lord God that I serve, is that He's not knocked off track when Pharaoh makes a decision like he made. He's not knocked off track whenever Potiphar makes a decision that he made. God, get this, rest in this child of God. No matter what's going on in your life, your God is working behind the scenes. He is working. And I'm telling you, yes, Pharaoh got upset at the butler. Yes, Pharaoh got upset at the baker. But God made him send him to the prison where Joseph was because God gave Joseph a dream. He gave him a dream whenever we started in chapter 37. And God is at work behind the scenes without Joseph even knowing it. He sent a man in that same prison that he's going to use to take him out of that prison. When you find yourself in the prison areas of life, when you find yourself put into the prison, a place you wouldn't choose for yourself, a place that hurts you, that causes you pain and suffering and loneliness, a place that you would never choose for yourself, number one, realize God is at work. Number two, remain faithful to your duties. Remain faithful to your duties. We see this in verse number four. Notice it. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. Notice this. Joseph, in that prison, was given a job, and he did it faithfully. This is a great thought here. What I'm saying to you is that the captain of the guard put the butler and baker in the charge of Joseph. In other words, the captain gave Joseph a duty to do in that prison, and Joseph faithfully did his duty. The Bible says he served them. By the way, a great thing to do when you find yourself hurting is serve others. Start serving others. Joseph was in a place of pain. He was in a place of false accusation. He was in a place of suffering and injustice, but he kept doing what he was supposed to do. There was a man that put it this way: wisdom teaches us that having duties to do and doing them well is a great source of help and comfort in time of trial. One of the worst things you can do when troubles come is to sit down and do nothing but worry or pout or wallow in self-pity. That will only add to your sorrow and heaviness. Get up and get busy if you want to see the light at the end of the tunnel of trials. In fact, doing his duties faithfully in prison eventually resulted in his being taken out of the prison and promoted to his high post in the Egyptian government. This same man went on to say this: some refused to serve because they experienced poor results in their past service. Some refused to serve because they were slighted or mistreated in previous service. Some will not serve because the place of service is too lowly for their carnal pride. The point here is this: when you find yourself in a prison, when you find yourself put into a prison of pain and sorrow and suffering and injustice, don't quit on God, friends. Don't quit on God. Be faithful to the duties he's given you to do. And one of those we find in Joseph's life, that's to get up and serve others. Let me tell you something. One of the worst things you can do in these prison experiences is to sit down and sulk in self-pity. Get up and get busy for the glory of God. When you find yourself hurting in a prison, I'm talking about a prison that you didn't go to, you were put there. I mean, you were placed there. You didn't choose this for yourself. It's unjust. Basically what I'm talking to you about, it's a place of sorrow and pain and suffering and loneliness and loss of freedom. And all that. When you find yourself in those places, realize God is at work behind the scenes, and keep on doing what he's given you to do. Don't stop on God, friends. Don't stop on the Lord. Let me give you a third thing. Number three, not only recognize or realize that God is at work and remain faithful to your duties, but number three, reveal God to others. Reveal God to others. When you're in that prison, a great thing you can do is talk about God. We see this in verse 5 through verse number 8. Notice it. And they, that's the butler and baker, dreamed a dream, both of them, each man in his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream. The butler and the baker, the king of Egypt, which were bound in prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Now here's the point that God spoke to me about. The butler and baker both had a dream in one night. The next morning, Joseph noticed how they were sad, and he asked them, why are you so sad today? They told him because they both had a dream and there was no interpreter. Joseph immediately took this opportunity. See, it was an open door, you see, for him. And he immediately took this opportunity to introduce these men to his God. He told them that interpretations belong to God. You know what Joseph was doing here, friends? He was witnessing. He was witnessing in his prison. He was telling these men about God. Here's what I'm trying to say. We can all learn from Joseph in this. When you find yourself put into the prison, Listen to me, please. When you find yourself put into the prison, God can open opportunities for you to be a real witness to others. While the devil tempts you in prison to blame God, the Lord wants to work in your life in such a way that you can point others to God during your prison experience. You listening to me? Joseph was in a place where these men would listen to him. Let me tell you why. Because he's in the same prison as they were. Can I apply this to you? How the Lord was applying it in my life? May the Holy Spirit help us see this point. When you are put into prison, look for others who are in that same prison and tell them about God. Who better to reach someone who's lost a mate than one who's lost a mate? Who better to reach someone who's lost a child than someone who's lost a child? Who better to reach someone who's dealing with cancer than someone who's dealt with it or dealing with it now? Do you understand this point, friends? He's in the same prison that they're in. And as soon as the door opened, he told them about God. Oh, I want the Holy Spirit to drive that point home to your heart. Could it be that you've been placed into a prison as God's child because he wants you to witness to somebody who doesn't know him? And they'll listen to you because they cannot tell you you don't understand. You got it? You understand that point? If not, I'm going to start all over again. Did you understand that point? Amen. I thought I'd get some amens there. I'm going to tell you something. That ministers to my heart right there. We've had people recently who have lived that. They've lived it. Let me give you a fourth thing. You find yourself in the place where you're put into the prison. Realize God is at work. Remain faithful to your duties. Reveal God to others. Number four, relay God's message truthfully. Now here's a point. Look at verse 9 and following. The chief butler told his dream to Joseph, said to him, "In my dream, behold, a vine was before me. In the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. I took the grapes, pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand." Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of the three branches for 3 days. "Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head, restore thee unto thy place. Thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me. Make mention unto me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, "I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds that eat them out of the basket upon my head." And Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation thereof, the three baskets, 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee." Boy, that's unkind. That's not very positive preaching, if you ask me, friend. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. Here's the point I'm getting across here. Or I'm trying to get across. In these verses, we see the butler told Joseph his dream about having a vine with three branches and bearing clusters of grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in his hand, and he was pressing the grapes into the cup and giving it to Pharaoh. Joseph said the message that God gave, this is the message. Because see, hey, God doesn't speak through dreams anymore, friends. If you have a dream and you think God spoke to you, you ate too much pizza before you went to bed at night. What I'm saying to you is they didn't have the canon of Scripture. Now, God can do anything he wants to do. I don't want to put him in a box, you understand? I'm not saying he can't speak to you any way he wants to speak to you, but he will not use dreams like he used them in the Old Testament. Amen. The dreams in the Old Testament was the word of God. This is how he revealed himself to people. Listen, they didn't have Exodus and Ephesians and Philippians to turn to. They didn't have the Bible. They only had parts of it, you see. The canon of Scripture was not fulfilled, so he was speaking through dreams. In other words, this is God's message to this butler and baker is what I'm saying. And Joseph told him exactly what God said in his dream. He said, in 3 days, Pharaoh's going to give you your job back. And guess what? That's exactly what happened. The baker heard that and said, man, that sounds pretty good. Look at it. In verse number 16, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, man, that sounds good. I'm going to tell him mine now. And he told him. But in this dream, there were white baskets, three white baskets on this man's head. And the one on top, the uppermost one, there was all kinds of meats in it, and birds were landing and eating the meats. And Joseph said, here's God's message for you. In 3 days, Pharaoh's going to kill you. He's going to hang your body on a tree, and the bird's going to eat your flesh. Can I say this to you? He may not last too long in an Independent Baptist pulpit. We see later on this exactly what happened. Now here's the point I'm trying to get across here. The point is, we see Joseph gave God's message to both these men truthfully. Joseph did not change the message in prison. He gave it just like God gave it. Joseph told them the truth even when it spoke about death. Here it is. Many like to preach grace. Few speak of judgment. However, we see the same gospel that comforts the saint condemns the sinner. Let us in our prison experience, as well as in all times of life, give the truths of God's word, the good news and the bad news. There is a real heaven, aren't you glad? But there's also a real hell. God's peace is on his children, but God's wrath is on all non-believers. Let us be faithful to give his message truthfully. Don't change the message when you're going through prison. Give it just like God gave it. Number one, realize that God is working behind the scenes. Number two, remain faithful to your duties. Number three, reveal God to others. Number four, relay God's message faithfully and truthfully. And then number five, rest in God's timing. Rest in God's timing. We see this in verse 20 and following. Notice it. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Notice verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Go on to verse number 1 of chapter 41. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. As Joseph gave the butler the interpretation of his dream. Back in verse number 14, I believe it is. Yes, in verse number 14, he says, when you are restored to your job, please think on me. Remember me. And tell the Pharaoh about this. You listening to me? It would only be logical for the butler to remember him. Amen or not, friends? Would it not just be logical for this man to remember? I need to tell Pharaoh about Joseph. But we see in verse 23 that he forgot Joseph. Verse 1 of the next chapter says it was 2 full years before he would remember him. At first glance, you might think, how unfair. Here it goes again in Joseph's life. It's just getting worse and worse. I want to ask you a question. Trick question. Who forgot Joseph? Sure he did. That's what the Bible says, right? Listen to me, please. As Dr. Clarence Sexton said, God does what is right when it is right to do it. Listen to me. If the butler had immediately spoken of Joseph to the Pharaoh, the timing would not have been right. Because Joseph, get this, because the butler forgot him, and he had to spend two full more years in that prison. When he did remember to tell Pharaoh, it helped put Joseph in a position to help save the world. Are you seeing what I'm getting across here? It is a time that we would, listen to me, when you find yourself put into a prison, it is a time that you do not want to be forgotten. And it's a time when the devil will try to whisper, you have been forgotten. It's a time we would choose to get out of as soon as possible. Please get me out of this. But there's a God in heaven, friends, who has a wonderful plan for your life. And he is at work to do the right thing in the right time. One person put it this way, waiting is a common instrument of providential discipline for those to whom exceptional work has been appointed. Many of God's servants down through life have had to go through times of waiting periods before they were given their great work to do. Look at Abraham and Sarah. You think they had to wait for the baby boy, friends? You think that was a prison that they chose for themselves? Or do you think they looked at it and said, listen, this is not fair. We've been put into the prison of unbarrenness. Little did they know, they got ahead of God. Ishmael was born to it. But if they'd have just rested in God's timing, God was working in ways they never even dreamed. What about Moses? Put on the backside of the desert. Prison experience, maybe? Why was he put there? Because God was taking him to school so he could make him and form him into the leader that he could take millions of Jews out of Egypt. What about Elijah? Before he ever goes to Mount Carmel and calls down fire from heaven, he had to go to the brook Cherith first. And he had to learn to trust God there and rest in God's timing. I'm saying this to you. I've given this story before, but it applies here. Just talking about when you find yourself put into a prison. I'm talking about put into a place that you would never choose for yourself. Put into a place of suffering and loneliness and pain and sorrow. Put into a place that seems unfair and unjust. Rest in God's timing. Reminded of the story. You'll get the basic gist of it. I may be getting a few details off, but anyway, you'll get the major thrust of this. There was a Bible study meeting somewhere, this has been years ago, and they were studying the verse that said that God sitteth as a refiner of silver. I've told the story here before, but if you've heard it, just bear with me. If you haven't, this drives us home. They saw that verse, he sitteth as a refiner of silver, and they began to wonder, what does that mean? What does it mean to sit as a refiner of silver? So apparently one of them said, well, there's a silver refining shop here in town. I'll go there this week and I'll try to find an answer for us. What does God mean when he says he sits as a refiner of silver? So this particular person went and watched this silver refiner do his work. Was watching him intently and finally met with this silver refiner and began to ask him some questions. Things more than likely like, tell me about your job. What do you do as a silver refiner? Because God says he's a silver refiner. What's that mean? Here's what that silver refiner told that person who was asking the questions. He said, well, first of all, I'm the one that sticks the silver in the fire. I put it in. And he said, I want you to know something. There's never a time that I take my eyes off of it when it's in the flames. My eyes are constantly watching it. Because there's a precise moment when I know it's time to take it out. Now get this. He puts it in. He never stops watching it because he's looking for the moment to take it out. Well, the natural question was, how do you know it's time to take it out? And that silver refiner said, I know it's time to take it out when I can see my own reflection in it. And when I can see myself in that silver in the flame, I know now it's time to take it out. Could it be that God has you in a prison? Rest assured, even though it seems awful lonely there. And rest assured that when the devil tries to jump up on your shoulder and whisper in your ear, God doesn't care about you and nobody else does either. God sits as a refiner of silver. You know what that means? He's constantly watching you. His eyes are on you. And could it be that he's waiting to see himself? I would say that when we get to heaven as God's children, that all of us are going to learn some things that we missed. And one of them, no doubt in my mind, is just resting in the timing of God. The Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. A little chorus that they taught us down at Crown on that, it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. The Bible says in James 1:4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In this chapter, we see Joseph is put into a prison. He's put there because he's falsely accused. He's put there because his brothers sold him. He's put there because he's done the right thing. But while he's in that prison, there's five things that we can all apply to our lives. And that is, we must realize God is at work. God sent that butler and that baker there because God had something great for Joseph to get him out of that prison. Hey, remain faithful to your duties. Get your eyes off yourself and start serving others and do what God has called you to do. Hey, number three, reveal God to others. Search for those who are going through what you're going through and ask God to give you the grace to respond right so your witness will be effective in their life. Number four, relay the message of God truthfully. Don't change it, just keep giving it faithfully. And number five, even though it hurts, and even though you don't understand, put yourself in Joseph's shoes, friends. Joseph pleaded with this butler, please remember me. Please remember me. It's 2 full years before he hears anything. I have a slight feeling that the devil tried to attack that young man during those 2 years. You're forgotten. Your dreams are gone. But Joseph's getting ready to learn a lesson. That when your dreams seem like they're shattered on the ground, something God's told you, and the world seems crashing around you, there's a God in heaven who is bigger than your prison. And he can use anything he wants to fulfill his God-given dreams in your life. God, help us to see this. Amen or not, friends. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you and thank you for this day. Challenge us from your word. Speak to us in a clear way. Help us, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. As soon as they're ready, they can begin at any moment. I want to ask you some questions this morning. Would you let me do that? You've listened well today. God bless you. For those of y'all who are visiting with us today, God bless you. Thank you for coming. Those of y'all who are normals, your regulars, God bless you for being faithful to his house. I want to ask you some questions this morning. We're just about through question number one. Are you 100% sure that you're going to heaven? Notice I didn't ask, are you 90, 99, 99.9? I'm asking, are you 100% sure that you're going to heaven? Has there been a time in your life where you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? You're not relying on church membership. You're not relying on your good works. You're not relying on baptism. You're not relying on anything you've done. I'm talking about there's been a time in your life where you realize you were a sinner, that Jesus Christ died in your place. He was buried and rose again. And you, by faith, have trusted Christ and Christ alone. Do you know without a doubt that you're going to heaven? If you do, that's a wonderful thing to know. If you don't, you can know that before you leave today. This is not an invitation to join this church. It has nothing to do with joining this church. It has everything to do with becoming a child of God. Is there one today say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure. Now, I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I wouldn't embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for the world. If you say, Jody, I am not 100% sure, but I would like to be. I don't know that 100% sure, but I sure would like to know it. I sure would. Is there anybody like that? Would you quietly raise your hand in the air with mine? Anybody like that? You say, pray for me. I'm not 100% sure. I'd like to be, but I'm not. Let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. Here's my question to you. Are you sitting here in a prison today? Oh, you're sitting in Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church congregation, but I'm asking, spiritually speaking, are you sitting in a prison? Have you been put into a place that you'd never choose for yourself? Have you been put into a place that's maybe painful and lonesome? And maybe even the thoughts going through your mind, this just isn't fair. Have you say, Jody, I'm going to be honest. Hey, every Christian would have to respond to this at some time in their life. Maybe it's just that this is now your time. Have you say, Jody, I'm going to be honest. I've been put into a prison. I can identify with this thought. Be honest. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? I've been put in one. Yes. God bless you. That's a lot of hands. You can put your hands down. God bless you. What's the message for you, friends? The message for God's child, if you're saved, is God is working even when you can't see it. The message that God wants you to hear is find what He wants you to do and keep doing it. Don't quit on Him. Start serving others. Refuse to sit down and sulk in self-pity. Hey, God wants you to find others who may be going through what you're going through, that same prison. You claim to be a Christian, but there's others. There's others who are going through this same prison that you're going through that they don't know the Lord. God wants you to tell them about Him. Could it be that's the reason you're in that prison, so you'd have an open door to talk to others who are going through this same thing, who doesn't have God in their life like you do? Hey, keep giving God's message faithfully. Don't water it down. Don't change the message. And as hard as it may sound, as hard as it may seem, rest in God's timing. God knows when to take you out. God knows when it's time. That time may not be until He calls you home, friends. But even then, God's timing is perfect. I want to invite you to come talk to God. Please, please. And ask God help you be faithful while in prison. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take this thought and use it in a mighty way. May the will of God be done. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Mike, if you'll begin to sing, if God is speaking, you'll
be in your place. Have thine own way, Lord.
Come talk to God about it.
Lord, have thine own way.
Lord, I'm in a prison.
Thou art the potter, I am the clay.
We do what you've given me to do.
Mold me and make me
rest in your
after
time.
Thy will.
Tell others about you.
While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Let's sing one more verse with Brother Mike.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow.
Look this way, a couple of things, and we'll pray and be dismissed. Remind you as you leave today about this sheet for families, if you'd like to get a copy of it. Please be back tonight as we go through this little booklet together. I believe it'll be a blessing to you, help to you. If you're a guest and you have a visitor's card, please remember to take it out to the Welcome Center. If you're a man and you'd like to come to this men's retreat, please sign your name. I know it's a lot of things going on, but just apply to whatever applies to your life, okay? Our Father, we love you and we ask that you bless this thought. Help us to understand the importance that when we find ourselves in prison, that we be faithful. Trust you in it. May the will of God be done through it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Love you. Please be back tonight if you can at 6:30. Speak to each other as you leave, especially if you're around somebody that you do not recognize.